We'll begin this historic rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of December 22, 2006, this is the Rain Report, available as an MP3 download and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. So, what's so historical about this week's program? Well, it's not the program so much as the subject matter. As of December 15, 2006, the FCC has eliminated Morse code from the amateur radio testing program entirely. That's right, the commission dropped the code and simultaneously stirred up a hornet's nest. If you believe what you read on some internet forums, the ARRL, American Radio Relay League, wanted the code eliminated from the testing process. To set the record straight, Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Alan Pitts, W1AGP, Media and Public Relations Manager for the League.
There were two actions that happened almost back-to-back. The bigger one, which came out on December 15th, was the elimination of Morse code as a requirement for an amateur radio license for general or extra class. The second was to allow the technician class limited access to the high-frequency bands. Way back in 1947, provision was made internationally permitting administrations to waive the requirement for operation. At that point, it was for people that were operating above 1 gigahertz. In 1959, they dropped it down to 144 megahertz. And in 1979, they dropped the requirement down to people operating above 30 megahertz, which is pretty much where things stood. In 1991, the FCC followed suit. And in 1999, following also the World Radio conferences, they went and dropped the level of code testing down to the minimum of 5 words a minute, and that was as far as they could go until WRC03. And the World Radio Conference 2003 said they could drop the code entirely. Now, a lot of countries already did. England, Canada, Australia, a number of the European countries did. In July 2005, the FCC issued a notice of proposed rulemaking and asked for comments. They got over 6,200 of them. They served notice they were going to propose to drop Morse code requirement for all classes of amateur radio license. Now, they had already dropped it for the technician class, which was limited to above 50 megahertz. One of the interesting sidelights to this is that while they may have eliminated Morse code as a requirement for amateur radio licensing, when they gave the technician class people access to the HF bands, besides the 10 meter band, if you look where they gave them HF privileges, it's Morse code in the 80, 40, and 15 meter band. I find that very, very interesting that the technicians got a whole lot of CW privileges.
Just so we're clear, do we no longer have code requirement whatsoever?
It is not a requirement to get your amateur radio license for any of the three classes of amateur radio. Once this rule goes into effect, 30 days after it's actually printed, our guess at this point is it probably will be late in February when it does. The experience of other countries that have already gone through this is very interesting. Yes, there were a lot of radio engineering type people that would have been and could have been incredible amateur radio operators, but didn't want to get into amateur radio because of the code requirement. Once the code requirement was dropped, a lot of people did come into the hobby, and the hobby is a whole lot better for them. The second part is that the actual numbers of people using Morse code escalated significantly. It's one of the quirks of human behavior that when you're not forced to do something, people like to do it, and they've discovered it's fun to do it. Kind of like the Tom Sawyer painting your fence story. If you have to whitewash the fence, it's a drudge. But if you make it fun and it's not required, people start learning it and using it. Just because it is fun, it's another way of doing things. So they've noticed that the actual use of Morse code has increased, not decreased.
Fascinating. There's a tired argument that has been around ever since the FCC began to as some would say, watered down amateur radio, that eliminating Morse code entirely doesn't make the bands a whole lot different than CB.
The FCC addressed those arguments directly. This is from the actual report and order. In reaching their decision, we note that one of the fundamental purposes underlying the Part 97 rules is to accommodate amateur radio operators' proven ability to contribute to the advancement of the radio art. The Commission has previously stated that an individual's ability to demonstrate increased Morse code proficiency is not necessarily indicative of his or her ability to contribute to the advancement of radio art. So there is no correlation between learning Morse code or being good at Morse code and actually advancing wireless communications. They cannot find any.
You're listening to an interview with ARRL Media and Public Relations Manager Alan Pitts, W1AGP, discussing the FCC's decision to drop Morse code entirely from the U.S. amateur radio testing process. We'll hear more of Hap Holly's interview with Alan in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH, whose bio can be found on QRZ.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
So why was Morse code made a requirement in the testing process in the first place?
Well, Morse code initially was used by the military. You can go back to World War II and before. Morse code was something that was needed for military communications. The whole scope of amateur radio. We want to think it's a hobby in many cases, but the federal government looks at us in a different way a lot of times than we look at ourselves. In the report and order, there's another very interesting, and I'm just going to read part of one sentence here. They're talking about amateur radio engaging in voluntary communications. And here's a quote. Amateur radio forms a group of trained operators who have the ability, on a voluntary basis, to assist the public by providing essential communications links and facilitating relief actions, particularly when disaster or other emergency situation occurs or is likely to occur, unquote. So what they're looking at is amateur radio to be both a pool of trained operators and also a pool of people to develop telecommunications, which can be used in an emergency or military-type situation. That's been written right into Part 97 from the very beginning. Given the world as it is today, they're not using Morse code for those purposes. They're using a lot of voice communications. They're using a lot of digital communications. And so the FCC did not see any reason to have a specific Morse code requirement any more than there should be a specific requirement showing proficiency in digital radio or PSK or a whole lot of other modalities. I don't know of any changes being made to the novice class license at all. The only one that it changes is the technician class. No, there is no grandfather provision in this. In order to upgrade from novice to technician, you will still need to pass the Element 2 written examination. The FCC did not change the operating privileges for a novice, general, advanced, or extra class licensee.
In the year and a half that the proposal by the FCC was out to eliminate Morse code, what kind of response did the league find from members that contacted it about this proposed elimination?
The ARRL, through its directors especially, canvassed the membership and had an unprecedented time trying to get the various feelings, thoughts, intents, and all of our ARRL membership, which came up through the directors ultimately to a board meeting over a year ago, and formed the position of the ARRL that we were going to advocate, and we did. We advocated to try to at least keep 5 words a minute for the extra amateur class license. The reason for that is our belief in the extra class license in more ways than one should be the highest level. This should be the epitome. This should be the person who really knows their stuff. We saw it as a skill. The FCC chose that is not true. Again, they see no correlation between knowledge and proficiency in Morse code and actual skill and possibilities of advancing the radio art. So they did not go along with that, and they dropped the code.
Unlike some of the flames that we've been seeing on the Internet, the League was not behind this decision by the commission to eliminate code entirely.
Absolutely not. People who are making the assertion that somehow the League wanted to get rid of the code, that's not correct. I wish more people would read press releases and what's up on the website. I do see a lot of misinformation floating around and people quoting other people. The other part that you see is a lot of anger. Well, I had to do this, and they almost insult all the CBers. We're going to become CB or whatever it may be. That has not been the experience in other countries. We now can expect that there will be a fair number of people upgrading. We've already seen more than a doubling in people going to the books to learn and get higher class licenses. I'm expecting we're going to see many very technically skilled people looking seriously at getting an amateur radio license. In other countries, they've been able to bring these people in, they mentor them, they work with them, and it's been very good for them. I hope the amateur radio operators within the United States will also rise to the occasion, because what makes a ham is another ham. And the need for mentoring, take a time out to work with a new person. Okay, maybe they're as bad at Morse code as I am, but work with them. They'll get better. I also think we're going to see a lot more development of amateur radio when these people who have fantastic skills in engineering, in radio, in telecommunications, become amateur radio operators, now that they're not hindered by having to learn a code which has no relation to what they do with the rest of their lives. I think they're going to come on in and bring in skills, and we'll see development of a lot of new technologies and opportunities over the next 10 years. No one is taking away Morse code. The only one that can take that away is we ourselves. It's a skill. It is a good skill, but it's only one skill in the radio arts among many. And if we want to see the continuation of Morse code, take the time to teach other people. It's going to take teachers, and it's going to take time. If Morse code is important to them, teach someone. For other people, let's use the opportunity presented to us to really expand amateur radio, increase the radio arts, and I think we've got a very bright future.
That was Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with Alan Pitts, W1AGP, Media and Public Relations Manager for the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, which has been the brunt of considerable and misplaced criticism in connection with the FCC's December 15th announcement to eliminate Morse code from the stateside ham radio testing process. Editorial note, now that you've heard the facts, we hope the lunatic fringe will take a little time to read the press releases on the ARRL website before going off half-cocked, discrediting themselves and embarrassing the rest of us. Unfortunately, the pig farmers and other goofballs on 80 and 20 meters don't listen to voices of reason like the Rain Report. A pity. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2006 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rain founder-producer, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, wishing you happy holidays. This is Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, and remember, I'm only reading it.